Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational magazine for women since 2006. I'm also the best-selling publisher at the boutique publishing house, InspiredLivingPublishing.com, where we're dedicated to publishing books written by women and for women that inspire, empower, and support women in living their best lives. If you follow any of my brands, that you know I'm all about bringing you the expert wisdom from some amazing woman, all with a desire to support you again in living your best life. And today I am excited to have Liana Silva here with me. Liana is a torch holder for a world to be in which the epidemic of women self-haters has long become absurd and feminine leadership flourishes. For over 14 years, she has been writing, teaching, coaching, and speaking, helping women to turn on their feminine strengths and live brilliant lives aligned with their true desires. Liana's system of body-based leadership supports entrepreneurs, activists, coaches, and changemakers to get ahead without just using their heads, and to create sustainable, ceiling-defying results using intuition before reasoning, feeling before thinking, receiving before giving, sensuality before willpower, pleasure before restriction, and one of my favorite, collaboration before competition. Liana's new book, which I have in my hands, Feminine Genius, The Provocative Path to Waking Up and Turning on the Wisdom of Being a Woman, is now available nationwide, and her work has been featured in the Huffington Post, Forbes, Yoga Journal, Jezebel, and Emerging Women. Welcome, Liana.
I'm so happy to be here.
I got to tell you, when I came across your book and your whole message, I was just drawn to everything that you were doing. Your message is powerful. And one of the things that really drew me to you and your work is it's a little provocative, right? It's really shifting how we've been showing up in our own lives as women. And you're really, I don't know, shaking up the status quo for many women. So take us back and bring us into when you stepped on this journey.
Oh, good grief. It is a bit provocative. It's right there in the subtitle, right, of the book. So for me, in many ways, I think I shouldn't have been afflicted by the epidemic of self-hating that I think affects so many women and girls. I was raised an intentional community in the mountains of northern New Mexico, just after the 60s, by very conscious, loving parents. And somehow, from popular culture or media or whatever, it still wormed its way in there. And particularly because my earliest love and my first career was in dance. So I was a professional modern dancer for many years. And I had in me, of course, an innate love of just being in body and being a dancer and sharing that. But when I started to go train to be professional, then I realized what you need to do to make it, which I feel like is very similar for a dancer as for becoming a woman, which is essentially be perfect, get it right, be thin, be pretty, be pleasing, be on all the time. And so I really took that on full force. And I mean, I did dance for about 10 years abroad and in New York City at the Metropolitan Opera Ballet and with some amazing companies. And during that time, I had eating disorders. I had to willed myself down to very thin. My relationships, I kind of juggled a couple of guys at any given time, so I didn't really have to commit. And I had an internal war, just a sense that as I became less of a girl and more of a woman, as my body changed, as I got curves, as I wanted things like food or rest or, I don't know, even to take a day off and go on a date, that those desires or those urges of my body felt antithetical to my dreams. I can't eat ice cream and still be a dancer. I can't skip a day and still realize my dreams. And I started to feel like my body was against me and that I needed to war against it. And I think that might be a little more extreme because I was in the dance world, but not by much. I feel like this is really the experience a lot of women and girls have. So I remember one of them with yourself and you win, who loses? And something about it really shook me.
Whoa.
Because okay, I actually, you know, most of us are in a war because we believe there are parts of ourselves that are bad and wrong. And if we had a scalpel, we could cut them out and then everything would be okay. So we are at war and we're hell-bent on winning. We don't want those parts. But there was something about the way he said that that made me realize you can't cut off one part of yourself and still survive. You can't just remove one part and expect the whole to still function. That I can't be at war with one part of myself without losing. Just being in the war is loss. And so I thought, I don't know how, but I don't want to play this. I don't want to have this experience in myself. That is certainly echoed in the world at large, the war we have inside of us. The world doesn't view women or value women in the ways that I think we are so intrinsic and that we actually deserve. So that's really been my path. I learned along the way, either quickly or sort of extra quickly. So, you know, it's a really hard one. Or, you know, reclaimed and recalled. And it's beautiful. When I, you know, I've seen it in myself, and when I see it in friends or clients or readers, this light that comes back on or her spine straightens or just this sense of ownership of herself and her life, it is breathtaking. And I know that her life will be, like you said, it will be her best life. And then the ripple effect of who she talks to, what she brings into the world, what she contributes, those ripple effects are profound and so needed.
Oh, so that's so needed, Liana.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Hearing your story, it's so funny. Our journeys may be different. Our backgrounds to the wounds that we may have suffered and the stories we told ourselves deeply. And the feeling of needing to control, be in control at all times, which was is really, of course, as an illusion, which cost me my health at a young age, in my 40s and my other business. And it was something you just said when you said you couldn't have the ice cream and be a dancer. It was that all or nothing mentality, right?
Right.
That's what it was for me, and it was destroying me from the inside out. So everything that you just shared, I can really relate with, and I've had enough conversations with women in my community to know that the sad part is there's a lot of women who are still living with that pain, with that disconnection from themselves, and that's why I do this show. This is why I publish Aspire magazine. There is light on the other side. I found it, you found it, and now you're empowering other women to find it. And that's why I wanted you on the show today, because feminine genius to do. What would you say right now, in this moment, to a woman listening who is feeling disconnected from herself, has lost her passion for life, or, like I did many years ago, going, oh my God, is this all there is? It feels so empty. What would you say to Liana?
Yes. So I would say there's no accident that she's here listening to our words at this point in time. It is no accident. This thing that you want back, this inner light or sense of self, is the very thing that got you here. Whatever kismet or fate or serendipity or synchronicity, that's the same energy that you're wanting. It's here. It may be less than you want, but that's what got you here. No accidents. And if we look, we just have a little bit of look, it is underneath there. I had a teacher once say, just go look under all the muck and the mud and all the things you think are wrong or broken about yourself. You will find a little piece of yourself kind of will clear off the mud off its face and do a little wink, like a wink at you. There is a place in all of us that knows we are magnificent, that knows that we're having the feeling, is this all there is, because there's more or deeper or better for us. So I would say that little breadcrumb that got us here to this moment, let's follow that.
That's beautiful. And I, like you, believe there are no accents. I believe we always are where we need to be to get the next message. It's up to us if we take action on it. And that comes down to, you know, choice, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to take a quick break, and I'll be back in a moment with Liana Silver of lianasilver.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine, inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book? Or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and I'm having a yummy conversation today with Liana Silver of lianasilver.com. She's the author of Feminine Genius, The Provocative Path to Waking Up and Turning on the Wisdom of Being a Woman. You know, Liana, so many of us, right? And I'll just speak for myself. For many years, I always second-guessed myself, right? Like, I'd have these desires float to the top of these visions of what life could be like, right? Whether it was in, how it could be a new relationship or something in business or just a desire that I wanted to bring to life. But I would allow the fears and the self-doubt. And I think that goes to what you had shared earlier. It's about getting out of our heads, right? Mm-hmm. How do we start? How do we start quieting the voice of ego that keeps us small and keeps us suffocated?
Great question. So I once worked with a client in a fairly in-depth mentorship program, and she said, I want to figure out this self-guessing thing. It's just derailing me and taking its toll. And I remember there was this one moment where we said, okay, wait a minute. We know what the experience of second-guessing is. There's doubt, there's fear, there's a lot of looped thoughts and worries, but it's your second guess. So actually, it's letting you know there was a first guess. So what I love to do here is go, there is an innate, intuitive sense of what is next or what is good and what is right for you. And it is quieter sometimes, or it's slower, or it comes quickly and then the louder, overbearing voices of our shoulds or ego, as you say, come on over that. But I think it's good to know that It's not another indication you're bad or wrong or broken, that you're second guessing yourself or caught in fear. It's an indication you rolled past that intersection. So back up. There's your first guess. Second guessing is letting you know there was a first guess. So what I found this so helpful, this distinction. I got this distinction finally in my bones with really diving into this neurology, neuroscience researcher, Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor, and she talked about the difference between left brain and right brain. And this is a little oversimplification, but left brain is often called our masculine brain. I sometimes call it masculine genius. And this is the part of us in every human being that really helps us not drive our car off the road, pay the bills, remember how to turn the lights on and off. It's like your interface between you and the world. And it's also our thinking, analytical, judgmental parts. But its function is to help us make our way in the world. And then our right brain, which Dr. Taylor calls our right mind, which I love. So when you're in your right mind, you're in your feminine mind. And every human being has both. But that part of us has immediate access to a sense of inner peace, to interconnectivity between connected to yourself, to other people, to life itself, joy, you know, that inspiration, aspiration, which is right on topic with your show, Linda. And what I love about this is that it kind of clears up this idea that there's something evil inside of you or something so fearful. It's true. It's just a part of you, but it's just, there is a beautiful balance that we can strike between left brain, between fears and worries, and between right brain, which just is completely delighted to be here now. It is really a sense of oneness and joy. So the how, I would say, to just get back to your question of how we stop second guessing ourselves, is we want to log more time in right brain world. So we just want to get up out of the computer chair and go feel the air on our face. We want to go dance so that we can be in our bodies. We want to go just take a walk, stretch, whatever it is, so that there is a sense of you balancing out all the thinking and planning that's a natural part of being human. So there's something that starts to rebalance when we spend just as much time in our feelings and in our bodies is in our thinking. So that's a first potent but simple step.
It is potent because it was when I learned to, which was a long learning journey for me, when I learned how to be Liana instead of do, because my whole identity, I'll be 55 this year, my whole identity was in the left brain, right? Do, yeah. Accomplish, win business awards. I had a retail business for 11 years before this business of 11 years. And everything you just shared, I didn't heal until I learned how to be present in my body, how to be still, how to take walks in nature, how to disconnect and, well, really, how to reconnect, right, with my true self.
Yes.
To me, that's where our true self, our authentic self resides, and we become disconnected. I'll speak for myself. I became disconnected. Because I lost my ability to be, right? And when you see women take action and follow your guidance and start to do this small step of spending more time in the right brain world, do you notice, as I did in my own personal life, that that's when the doubts quiet down, creativity flows, their intuition opens, because that's been my experience.
100%. 100%. And of course, you know, there may be other meditation you do or practices or contemplations or actions. But I think what starts to clear up is, like you said, in our all the things we were overachieving to try to feel, we're in this world that prostrates itself, bows down to achievement, to thinking, to reason, to goal orientation, willpower. Like, we all swim in this world. And because as girls and women, we're kind of told these more feminine aspects of yourself, your intuition, your feelings, you're going up and down, your cycles, et cetera, those have no place here. So we hide them away, we stuff them down, we hope they won't rear their heads later. And of course, that's what causes the war that we were speaking of before. And so we feel like there's something really wrong with us. There is some, this is shared by all human beings, kind of a core wound of being in a body. There's something intrinsically flawed with me, and I hope maybe I'll do a cover-up job and make enough money or win enough awards. I mean, I certainly am not exempt from that. Like you said, some pretty major health issues from that. I know I'm not alone. So I think the last thing I would say about just spending more time in our feminine genius or in our bodies or in our beingness allows that core wound to heal, where we don't really buy it anymore that we're intrinsically flawed. I mean, we're quirky. We're always learning stuff. We're always healing. But there's nothing broken. There's nothing intrinsically flawed.
And I think that's a powerful message for our listeners to get, because we come to believe that we are flawed when this is how I explain it to my daughter, who's, you know, now a mother, and to my clients. Mm-hmm. I just said, you can never be disconnected, truly disconnected from the truth of who you are, because you are pure love, pure essence, right? What happens is the channel just gets staticky. And we took on the muck of this world, right, and our experiences and our wounds. But if we can, when we take time to be, that allows us to clear the channel and to the divine, whoever your divine may be, right? And saying, if I'm feeling fearful or stressed or all this, I think I got to clear some static here, because this isn't the truth of who I am. And so I love that you shared that. Doesn't mean we're flawed when we find ourselves in these places of self-doubt or feeling disconnected. It just means we need to spend more time being.
So beautiful. And I have questions there. So I'll put it on the agenda.
No, please dive right in. I want to hear.
We got it. Okay. All right. Good. So I think there's a couple ways that self-doubt shows up. And one is, it's a call to slow down and reconnect to whatever it is we call source and to ourselves, 100%. I also think that I'll speak for myself and the women I've been working with. So then, you know, you can see, Linda, if you feel like this is universal enough. I think it is. That there is something about, especially the creative process, where self-doubt is a part of that. So self-doubt is not an indication you've fallen off your path or you're off the creative process. Actually, it's a part of it. So if we start out in our life or creating something in business or with our family or whatever, we're going along, it's just working great. And then we come into a period of time where we go, who am I to think this or think this is valuable? Do I have it? Why bother? The self-doubts come. And they're kind of a trickstery, funny part. But I believe what happens is that they throw us into a period of unknown. And we have a choice in that period of unknown, where we can realize that when things feel cloudy or staticky, like you said, it is a way where we can sort of strip off everything we thought we knew and remember afresh. There's a piece of us that, or an aspect of ourselves that gets planted and that we sort of discover or rediscover. It's almost like walking along and then finding yourself in a room where all the lights go off. That's what self-doubt is like. And we're groping around for the light switch, and then we realize, oh, the light switch is right in me. Like, I am a source of light. And there's something trickstery about this cycle that I think we go through as creative beings. We definitely go through as cyclical feminine beings, that shoves us into a time of self-doubt, because we can, hopefully, the point of it is to rediscover an aspect of ourselves, maybe our strength or our clarity or our inner authority, that just isn't available except for by crawling through that that darkness and realizing we had it in us all along.
I got to say, the moment you said the creative process includes self-doubt, I just felt it in the core of my being, and recently made a Facebook post to my community and said, who else is birthing something that is stretching them out of their comfort zone and bringing up every trigger in self-doubt? And I asked that question because that's when a lot of people give up. They think self-doubt means you're on the wrong path. And to me, it doesn't mean that. So I love when you said that, because I'm such a creative visionary. So when you said that, I'm like, oh, yes, everything I've ever created has brought this up.
Yes.
So thank you for sharing that and putting that asterisk after my previous statement. And when we come back from our next break, we're going to dive into an even juicier conversation with Leanna Silver of LeannaSilver.com.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Beautiful one. If you're living your life by default and feeling disempowered, disconnected, and disenchanted, it's time to tap into your goddess power and use that divine energy to create the magical life of your dreams. As part of the Goddess Lifestyle Alchemy Program, creatrix Lisa Marie Rosati guides you through the 12 aspects of your life while tapping into the archetypes, the four elements, the divine, and practical magic. By connecting to the divine and working with universal laws, your life suddenly shifts from going through the motions and struggles to seeing divine love and purpose in all aspects of your life. If you're ready to design your magical life, visit Lisa at goddesslifestyleplan.com for an abundance of supportive resources.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi everyone, this is Shea Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy. And with me today is Leanna Silver, best-selling author of Feminine Genius, The Provocative Path to Waking Up and Turning on the Wisdom of Being a Woman. You can grab a copy of that at LeannaSilver.com. So, Leanna, I'm like, ooh, baby, you know, there's so much juicy stuff in your book. I'm like, where do I start? So, all right, so we talked about that self-confidence earlier. And for so many, self-confidence can feel elusive, and we spend our lives chasing things that we think we need for that confidence, whether it's partners, achievements, sex, and we talked about it a little bit, in order to feel better about ourselves. I know, you know, that this doesn't work for long term, but what does?
What a great question. I think we probably have to chase after that carrot a number of times and really fall down and or fall short and go, there is no cheese down this tunnel. It may be that we just have to prove to ourselves that the right relationship or the right pair of shoes or the right lipstick color or the right salary isn't touching it. So what works in terms of it, I feel like it comes through the body. And here's what I feel like is going on for a lot or most parents. Don't do it. By the way, that is your ticket. That's your currency to trade for love and belonging and feeling valuable and being taken seriously. So don't take your eye off the ball. Trying requires us to feel kind of out of our bodies, to go to war with ourselves, to mistrust ourselves. So then the thing we're trying to do for self-confidence is the very thing that undermines our self-confidence. So what we need to do, I think the first step is go, whoa, this is kind of a big con. yes, women are beautiful. Physical appearance is something. Every single woman is just incredibly beautiful and alluring. And there is something about a woman and her sensual body that is archetypally intoxicating. So that's true. But that's like the tip of the iceberg. And so with an iceberg, really 90% of it is below the water where you can't even see. So then what happens? Okay, so you've been fixated your whole life, wasting your life on the 10% of the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg, fixated on your physical appearance. I certainly was slated to waste the rest of my life fixated on that, right? And then we pull the wool off our eyes a bit and look down at that 90% of the iceberg of what it is to be in a body. And we realize, oh, our bodies are our connection to our right mind, right? This is where our creativity is, where our confidence is, where our connection to whatever you consider divine is. This is where our intuitive intelligence lies. Feeling clear, confident, feeling connected, feeling alive and joyful is available in the body, but only when we're not fixated on physical appearance. And so I think that one of the counterintuitive secrets to self-confidence is to rip our gaze off, you know, off the mirror and instead start to re-understand what it is to be in body. And like you said, what comes back is this sense of intuition or guidance or connectivity. And without fail, I see this over and over again, that the clarity, confidence, connection, joy is, it's innate, and it comes back like a wellspring when our attention shifts.
100%. And joy is one of my, funny that my name is Joy, but it's one of my leading barometers that I use to know where I'm at in my body and in my life, right? Because if I'm not in joy, then I might have stepped into a story or a false belief again. So for me, that just serves as my barometer. Is I always want to feel that I'm aligned with that, because then I know that I'm aligned with my truth and not the false stories. One of the other questions is, you know, we all, and you've had many of them, and many of the women on this call have many, like negative feelings, failures, mm-hmm. setbacks, heartbreaks. And I'll tell you, I've written a few times about my Dark Night of the Soul in 1991. Mm-hmm. We go through it and we feel like crazy and lost. And we're afraid of those times that we find ourselves in the midst of one of those. But in your book, you say that the dark side is, our dark side is not a mistake. There's a purpose behind it. Can you talk more about that?
So I feel like we've all gone through dark times, or even feel to have dark feelings. And then there are some times, like you can identify that time in 1991. I had one a couple of years ago that we realized is to a certain depth, or maybe duration, or it's a dark time that we just instinctively feel is a dark night of the soul, because it is a question about what we hold sacred. So just a nod to that. I came across I would say two things during my own. So obviously I'd gone through the dark before, A Dark Night of the Soul, but it was drastic and long and very intense. So that the things I want to mention feel like they really landed. They really landed because it was such a hard time. So during this time, just to give you a little bit of an idea, it was a period about a year. And I had what I know now, I kind of understand the physical part of it now, but what it felt like at the time is I would wake up and I could just tell I wouldn't be able to kind of handle the day. I would get completely fatigued at 3 p.m. I would start having shaking attacks where I couldn't put my car key in the car. I would be cold and chilled. I would cry for no reason. I felt really isolated from other people. And the war, the thoughts, the self-doubt, and the war inside of me that I had early on, and really it felt like I healed, felt like it was back. And it felt like everything that worked in terms of what I was eating or how I was living or all my practices didn't work anymore. And so in this time, I got a couple of little handholds that I want to share them with you. So the first is that I really, really got, I knew this in my head and I really got it in my bones, that we are all, as humans, but definitely as women, cyclical beings. We go up and down. We do not move necessarily in a straight line. We move in a circle or a spiral. And one of those cycles that just really epitomizes femininity is what I call the death and rebirth cycle. And rebirth is kind of when everything's going awesome in your life, or it's summertime outside. You know, it's bright, it's easy, it's light, things are really flowing. And then a death time doesn't necessarily mean a literal death, but it feels like a figurative death. And that's the dark time. We feel it in the wintertime where the days are darker, it's colder, things feel stagnant. That big, okay, I don't love wintertime. I don't love the death part of the death rebirth cycle, but I don't make nature wrong for it. Why do I make myself wrong for it? So that felt like a first piece. Okay, I'm not off the map. This is just a piece of the, this is a section of the map. And then I went to have tea with a friend who I just met, and she was just this clear, wild-eyed elder woman, and she had these eyes of, you know, where I was scared because she was looking, it was a struggle to get through each day. And she said, good, I'm excited for you. And I'd never had anybody say that to me. And she wasn't glad that I was in pain or that I was suffering, but she said, look, the dark can be delicious. The dark is where up becomes down, down becomes up. All the signposts you used to use to maneuver through your life are all torn down, and you have to feel your way. You have to go into your feelings. You have to reconnect the dots and reconnect the wires. And she said to me, I know it feels like there's all these demons inside you, right? Like our doubts, our fears, whatever things that feel like our darknesses. And she said, listen to this. The word demon comes from the word daemon, D-A-E-M-O-N. And daemon means the voice of your inner truth or inner guidance. And somewhere along the line, the word daemon got tweaked into demon to mean, oh, no, you can't trust that voice of knowing inside you. That's it. That's evil. That's not trustable. And so it really spun my head around and had me feel, okay, maybe this is natural. Maybe there's tremendous value here. And maybe everything I'm resisting, all the pain, all the self-doubts, all of the, wait a minute, I thought I healed this again. Maybe these are friends, not foes. Maybe these are pointing me in tough love fashion, you know, but maybe they're pointing me toward a deeper aspect of my inner knowing or truth. So that's what I 100%, 110% now see of dark times. I'm not saying I like them. I'm not saying I would wish them on anybody, but it seems they are part of our human process and our creative process. And they are, I mean, they will, it's like you're in the forge, in the flames, you know, in the really being, you know, beaten and forged. And what emerges is such, as we were beginning to speak about before, Linda, of this aspect of us that is clear-eyed and straight spine, and that this is who I am and this is what I know.
It's powerful. Just to hear your description, yeah, too, of how to reframe our, you know, quote, dark times, mm-hmm, is a powerful gift that you've just given our listeners, because
yeah,
sometimes we step into that fear and we judge and we shut down even further. And when we come back from our last break, I want to talk with you more on this topic, because I think so many women, they may be listening right now, who are in the midst of a dark time, right?
Mm.
In the midst of it. And I'd love to get some of your insights on how you transitioned. Once you had that awareness of, okay, this may be good. When we come back from break, I'm going to invite you to share some of the ways that you started to embrace it and move through it. And I'll be back in a moment with Leanna Silver of LeannaSilver.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Are you being called to step into your truth and embrace your divinity? Are you ready to align your heart and soul, live an authentic life, and become a divine magnet for love and abundance? It's time to listen to your inner wisdom and clear the blocks holding you back from your best life. Leading intuitive prosperity coach, Akashic Records practitioner, and evidential medium Jamie Hearn of liveyourdivinity.com empowers and supports spiritual women like you to align your inner and outer worlds, embrace your soul's truth, and live your divinity. Through her intuitive gifts, grounded wisdom, and empowered coaching, Jamie guides women back into sacred alignment with their truth. Visit liveyourdivinity.com to learn more about Jamie's empowering programs and to schedule an Akashic Record reading.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy. And right before the break, I was talking with Leanna about how to look at our dark night of the soul, our struggles, with a different, in a different way, in a more empowering way. And your description was so beautiful, Leanna, that I want to dive into it a little more. Once you had that awareness after that tea with this woman, and you got that, okay, maybe this is really leading me to a closer relationship with yourself, what were the next steps that you took to continue that journey?
Great question. So I feel like there's a fair amount of that I developed some skill here, and I'm wondering if this just might be a missing skill that most humans are missing. Just how to feel our feelings, quite honestly. I mean, who among us doesn't feel like we feel the wrong things or too much of something or not enough of something? And men are oppressed around their feelings in a certain way. Certainly women are. So I'll describe a little bit about why this is so darn important. Let me say that there are some things I found helpful while you're really in it, in a dark time, in a dark night of the soul. And then there are some things that are available kind of afterward when it's lifted a bit. So I'll share a bit about both of them. So I think when you're in it, it's really useful to suspend trying to get what the lesson is. Just be in it. Just breathe. Just put one foot in front of the other. And just try to not numb out or run from it the way that's your particular flavor. I do it by getting busy. Some people do it by taking drugs. Some people do it by smoking. You know, whatever. We all are really deathly afraid of feeling what we are feeling. And it's for partly good reason. Our brains are designed to note physical pain, and emotional pain is the same thing. So, you know, up comes your anger or up comes your rejection, and it feels like you're going to die from it. Your brain's doing it for you. You know, you're not making that up. So I feel like it's, you know, your marching orders are to not run. but then to talk really about the skill, about what it means to feel our feelings. This is black belt level, ninja level human skills. I think that a lot of us are missing. And if we get really help. And I feel like it really could help children, and certainly then the adults we all become. So most of us feel like we're going to die from a feeling, so we close down to it or run in the opposite direction. And the thing that we need to experiment with is opening to it. Opening to the feeling, meaning the physical sensation in your body, which could be shaking, it could be hot, it could be cold, it could be tight, and just where you might close off to it, letting it pierce you to the bone is the way I say it. Now, it really helps to preface, just remind yourself that this emotion is not a demon, it's a daemon. This emotion is a friend, it's not a foe. This is here to help me come back to life, it's not here to kill me. Now, it's going to feel scary, but the life cycle of an emotion, when we really just allow ourselves to feel it and it to pierce us to the bone, is about a couple minutes. And I've tried this. I've said, okay, I'm willing to die. I'm going to time this and see. I mean, some are a little bit longer, but usually it's a couple minutes. So that always helps me to remind myself I could feel something. I could feel anything, even the worst of it, for a few minutes. And so you just want to like let it really run through us. You can be still, you know, and just really let it ride through you. You could dance, you could move, you could shake, you could swear, you could scream. It doesn't really matter. But just do whatever is the opposite of running away or contracting. So what happens is then this physical part of the emotion can complete its life cycle. And then what's left, it's almost like after the rainstorm or after the hurricane, there's a bit of a calm. And then if that's a few minutes after the feeling or a few weeks after, then there's an availability to start dialoguing with the feeling. So grief, anger, here you are, your friend, sit down at my table and tell me, what did you come here to tell me? And so literally we have this kind of, I'm suggesting to have this kind of dialogue with this aspect of yourself. So whatever it is, the self-doubt, the rage, the depression, whatever it is, just really say, what's important for me to know? What's your message for me? I like to think of feelings now as these little beings almost that come from the collective soul or in collective intelligence. And they can only speak to us through our bodies and our feelings. And they have messages for us. This is what's important to you. This is what's true for you. This is the way to go next. This is your next step. And we really miss them because we're off having another joint, you know, or whatever we're doing to run away from them. So I think it's really great to know that, to keep in mind that all, even these dark times are love you so much and want this evolution of an aspect of yourself or your clarity. They're totally rooting for you. And they do it in this really intense way. But there's not something that's wishing you harm. These aspects have like our bearing wisdom and our, this is a way we access our strength and know that no, it's not available in any other way.
This is a powerful way. You're helping me as well as all our listeners reframe, mm-hmm. because depending how you were raised, we all handle our feelings so differently, right? And I've learned over the last 20 years to deal with my feelings instead of bury them because it only hurts me physically. But I still have family members who armor, you know, and we all have friends. We have, there's so many different ways to avoid our feelings. I think we see it happen in our own lives as well as our loved ones. And everything that you just said about feeling them, even when they're painful, I like the reframe of don't look at it as painful. Look at it as, ooh, what are you here to teach me?
Mm.
And so for me, it's always about reframing. And those were some really helpful hints, tips that you gave to help us do that. Because I think as soon as we hear the word feelings, we go, oh, no, no, thank you. Thank you. I just want to stay in my little bubble.
I did
that for many years, so I'm familiar with that one. And I want to thank you, Liana, one, for being bold enough to do the work that you're doing in the world, for sharing this message. It really touched and resonated with me on a personal level. And I know my audience is going to really resonate with it because, as I tell my clients in my sacred community, now more than ever, women need to own their power, speak their truth, and, you know, embrace the truth of who they are. And that's why I love having someone like you on my show that is doing such magical work in the world.
Mm. Yeah, I'm clear. It's the turn of the women that is the women that will take the torch, this leg of the relay race, and light and heal and lead the world.
Oh,
I'm really clear.
It's like I can feel it in the core of my being. I believe that too. So thank you for being one of those light bearers.
Thank you. And thank you. What a beautiful conversation we got to have today. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And everyone, I want to invite you to check out Liana's work, her new book at lianasilver.com. And I invite you to join me every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time for more sacred conversations like this one. For even more inspiration, be sure to claim your free subscription to Aspire Magazine, which includes over 40 sacred gifts. You can do so at subscribe2aspire.com. Until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness. Blessings, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.